As we prepare to open God's Word, shall we ask for His blessing upon it. We thank You, Father, for Thy inspired Word, for the inspired story of the history of our redemption and of our hope in Jesus Christ. As we again look at this Word and as we open it this morning, we pray for Thy blessing to rest upon us, that He who speaks and all of us who listen may be blessed and edified and drawn closer unto Thee. Hear us, Lord, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We turn together this morning to the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 15, where we begin reading at verse 33. Mark 15, reading verses 33 through 41. God's word is here recorded as follows. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he's calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joses and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May his blessing rest upon it. The text, verse 38. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This past Thursday, the Church Universal celebrated together the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ to heaven and His being seated at His Father's right hand. What we need to realize is that particular step in Christ's ministry was actually a culminating step, in that many of the things that had happened while He was here on earth before that point to and prepare for the fact that He might go to heaven as a reward on His work and be seated at the Father's right hand. Now, normally there are so many details in our Lord's suffering and death that we don't hear about all that often, and yet it's good for us to look at some of those details from time to time in order to enrich our spiritual life and our faith. We just need to take the time sometimes to do that. And one of those details I would suggest this morning is the way in which Scripture says that in connection with the death of Christ, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. That little detail, that miracle on the cross, prepares for and directly points to The ascension of Christ, how it is that he could ascend to the Father and be received in heaven there to be seated in glory and power. In other words, these words explain for us something of what it was that we celebrated this past week in his ascension. We would consider them together this morning under the theme, the temple curtain was torn in two from the top to the bottom. First, considering the significance of the curtain. Second, what happened to the curtain. And thirdly, the change brought about by that tearing of the curtain for us. The biblical account of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ tells us, as we read here this morning, that darkness covered the earth from the sixth hour to the ninth hour on that day, which means darkness covered the earth from high noon, 12 o'clock, until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, that factual statement in itself has more significance than what we might at first suppose. For it tells us not only that there was miraculous darkness at noonday, but it also tells us that that darkness didn't continue on, for it ended at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The darkness which had draped the earth didn't continue on forever. Indeed, it returned more beautifully than ever it had shone before. But not only did the light return at the ninth hour, indeed it only returned because of that which we read took place on the cross at that very same hour. At the ninth hour, having hung in the darkness of hell and separation from God for 3 long hours, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." My God, why have you forsaken me? And after that he cried out, "I thirst." And Mark tells us that after he had been given some sour vinegar to drink, that he declared, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit. It is immediately following that, that we read this morning of this second miracle that took place on the cross. And we read the sequence as such. Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Now, contrary to the rationalizations of many interpreters, that tearing of the temple curtain was, congregation, a miracle of God. God, by means of it, spoke to the words, to the world, in terms of the significance what had just taken place on the cross. When his Son, made flesh, had laid down his life as a sacrifice for sin. God was then and there signifying what the value of that death was, what the accomplishment of that death was, by tearing the curtain in the temple in two, from the top to the bottom. In order to understand something of the significance of this miracle on the cross, we really need to become acquainted with the function which that curtain served for the people in that particular day. The temple was, of course, the temple was the successor to the tabernacle, which God had commanded Israel to build while the children of Israel were traveling across the wilderness toward the promised land many years earlier. Like the tabernacle, the temple had three courts. The outer court, to which all ordinary people who came to worship were restricted. The holy place, where the priests went to offer their daily sacrifices on behalf of the worshipers outside. And then there was the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of God rested. The place where the glory of God was present, representing God Himself. That place where only the high priest might enter once a year on the great day of atonement, and then only after proper and elaborate preparations had been made. Now, a beautiful curtain hung between each of those three sections of the temple. In order to enter the holy place or the Holy of Holies, the respective curtain first had to be drawn aside. The purpose of those curtains was, you see, to prevent sinful people from looking upon the holiness of Jehovah God. The curtain represented, in a symbolical way, the barrier of sin, which separates man from God. And so the only way in which that curtain could be drawn aside or penetrated was following or in conjunction with the shedding of sacrificial blood, as was done by the priests on behalf of the people. Especially that second curtain, the one between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, was a tangible token of how that man was separated from God by sin and had in himself no access to him, no right to look upon his holy presence. And when we now in the text this morning read about the curtain that was torn, it is that second that second curtain which is referred to. The curtain which hung in front of the Holy of Holies. The curtain that prevented anyone from looking upon the majesty and the glory and the very presence of God Himself, that presence dwelling there between the two cherubim and upon the mercy seat. Now, as we said a moment ago, God was making a wonderful declaration in miraculously tearing that curtain in two at precisely the moment of Christ's death. That curtain, we say it again, represented man's sin. Sin separates from God. As Adam found out after he had sinned, he promptly was driven from the garden and no longer enjoyed the fellowship with God that he had enjoyed before. But now, during those three awful hours of darkness just ended, Jesus Christ had paid for sin. Jesus Christ had borne the awful wrath of God against sin. And he had sustained it. When he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished," he thereby declared that his work was finished. The atonement for sin was complete. The price was paid. The debt was no more. When he laid down his life, the necessary supreme sacrifice for sin was made, and as a result, sin as a barrier was no more. The first Adam had created a barrier between God and man by his sin, but now the second Adam had just abolished that barrier. Therefore, the barrier was no more. Jesus had nailed it to the cross. As we read in Colossians chapter 2, he took it out of the way. And as a result, it was lifted. And that's now, you see, congregation, why at that hour, the light began to shine again. Salvation's work was finished. And that's also why the curtain in the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. For what it had always stood for as a barrier before God was now removed. It was out of the way. It was no more. People, of course, always like to try to find rational explanations for everything that happens. And of course, in most cases, reasonable explanations can be found for what happens. But for the miracles of God, there are no natural explanations. That's why they're miracles. There are no natural explanations. And that's true of these miracles on the cross as well. We read that at this moment, there was also an earthquake. That is at the ninth hour on Good Friday. And so some people have gone to work and said, well, you know, the earthquake caused that curtain of the temple to be burst by the heaving of the temple structure itself. Or others say a beam must have been shaken loose and fallen through that curtain to tear it. But you see, congregation, those explanations disregard the fact that the curtain in the temple hung loosely on rings supported by a golden rod. Under those circumstances, no stretching or no bursting asunder was possible. And even if that had taken place, the veil then would have been torn in every direction. Whereas we read that it was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Furthermore, no mention is made of any other damage to the temple. No beams were shaken loose. No damage was done to the structure itself. No. God miraculously tore that curtain in two from the top to the bottom. With an unseen hand, he caused suddenly the Holy of Holies to become exposed to open view. As in the beginning, he called all things into existence by the word of his power. So now, when salvation's work was complete, he commanded it, and the temple curtain was ripped in two from the top to the bottom. The scriptural account of those events is, we notice, very specific as to the times when each of these things took place. And that also has a purpose for us here today. Note well, it was at the ninth hour that Jesus uttered his triumphant words from the cross. It was at the ninth hour that the darkness ended and the sun again began to shine. It was at the ninth hour that the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And it was also at the ninth hour that every day in the afternoon, the sacrifices would begin in the temple according to Old Testament practice. Precisely at 3 o'clock every day, the entire company of priests would be standing in the holy place, facing the Holy of Holies, with only the curtain between them, ready to begin their sacrificial labors on the hour. Indeed, this company of priests would at that hour be standing before the very curtain that we're talking about this morning at the altar of sacrifice. And that's exactly where God wanted them to be. And that's why things transpired as they did. For as they stood there, facing that curtain, as they had done hundreds of times before, suddenly it was ripped in two by an unseen hand. Suddenly it was ripped from top to bottom. Suddenly they found themselves, to their own consternation, looking straight into the Holy of Holies, where dwelt the very presence of the Holy God. Those men, you see, could testify, as no doubt they did to the gospel writer, precisely how that curtain was torn. It was torn miraculously. It was torn by the hand of God. It was torn without secondary causes, with one mighty rip. That curtain was split in two. That red curtain was torn asunder. Its purpose, you see, was no more. Even as Jesus Christ laid down his life on the hill outside the city walls, the curtain of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, pointing forward to the ascension of Christ, when Jesus Christ could go to heaven, the heavenly Holy of Holies, and be seated at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Many of those priests who witnessed that miracle recognized its importance and were even moved to believe in Jesus as the Christ, as we read in Acts chapter 6, verse 7. So thirdly, what was God declaring to the world by this miraculous tearing of the temple curtain? What is the significance of this miracle, the cross, for us? God was declaring that through Jesus Christ and his work just now finished on the cross, the barrier of sin had been removed between himself and man. That curtain, as we said before, stood for and was a visible symbol of that barrier. But now that the price of sin was paid for, its symbol too had to be removed. the symbol too had to be done away with. It's something like if a person has a financial debt, which is secured by a note or a mortgage, that piece of paper, whatever form it may take, reminds one of and verifies the debt which is owed. But when the debt is paid, the creditor is obligated to tear up that piece of paper and do away with it. Its value is no more. It has no more relevancy. The obligation it stood for has been satisfied. When sin was satisfied for, God likewise tore up the note that was attached to it. The curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. God was also, by this act, declaring that the Old Testament priesthood was now finished and obsolete. Those priests standing before that curtain suddenly were permitted to look inside. They never need to sacrifice their lambs and their bullocks again. For one had just laid down his life for sin in an eternally effective way which would never ever need to be repeated. He being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What Jesus had just accomplished was final and forever secure. No longer were men dependent upon human mediators and symbolical offerings to find access unto God, for now they had new access through Jesus Christ, the eternal high priest, and his eternally effective sacrifice. The writer to the Hebrews uses this fact as a basis for his appeal to them to approach God through Jesus Christ when he writes as follows. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled with clean water and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The old curtain hung as a barrier separating man from God. But Jesus Christ has taken that curtain away and substituted another one for it, namely his own flesh. Through him, we are no longer separated from God. Through him, we now are returned to his presence and into his favor. We have a new and a living way to approach God. That is, through Jesus Christ, the great high priest over the house of God, on the basis of his broken body and his shed blood. The old curtain is ripped in two. But the new way is to come to God and to be reconciled to him in Jesus Christ. The scriptures put it this way. We have this as a sure and a steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner place behind the curtain. That's where Christ went. To the inner place behind the curtain in heaven, where Jesus is gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. To sum it all up, when at that ninth hour on Good Friday, the darkness which had enveloped the earth came to an end, and the light burst forth once again, that light was a fuller light than the world had ever before experienced. Saving light. Salvation light was now in Christ beamed into the darkness of the world. Jesus said, I am the light. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of light. Wherever you are, whoever you are today, come to that light. Through Christ, have access, full access unto him. As we read here, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. The barrier of sin is through him removed from before us. Reconciliation is now provided for us in a new and in a living way. And God himself has testified to this by the miracle which he wrought at the ninth hour on Good Friday, when the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Amen. Father, we thank thee for that little detail, because we recognize it's not so little. It's big. It points us to Christ, to the fulfillment of Christ, to the way in which he was successful in his work and carried it out. It points us to the reason why that he could ascend into glory and sit down rewarded with his work complete at the right hand of his heavenly Father. We thank thee, Father, for that detail. Help us today to continue to reflect upon it, to be thankful for it, and eternally to give unto thee our praise and our thanks. For Jesus' sake, amen.